ready to listen to another episode of Hacker Voice Radio, your independent free speech media source. To another episode of Hacker Voice Radio, and this is another free recorded episode.
I will not be pushed.
I said recorded because I fucking fucked up the last one yesterday.
Which I've recorded episodes since Wednesday of last week.
Yeah, we shall speak no more of that. Anyway, oh man, I'm like so completely just like random today because
I figured out how I streamlined the VNC.
Yeah.
I still cannot figure out why I did it. There's a temp file.
Right.
Which all of the bindings and settings for the VNC session are located in that would bind it to, like, a particular user.
Yeah.
Well, I unbound it from the Belial account.
Right.
Giving the VNC root access.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, since there was no root session of GNU started. That lovely little bash shell.
Nice. So it's basically high speed, low drag.
Yeah.
And it gives us like an almost real-time session environment where I can actually hear what you're typing.
Yep.
Which is amazing. I'm pretty happy with that. I mean, just to update people, today I got the IRC server running. Only slight problem is I managed to somehow, and I've got absolutely no idea how, to fuck it up after 3 minutes of it running perfectly. So what we're going to do is see if we can get it working after the show. I was almost inclined to say, right, fuck it, I'm not going to do a show tonight, I'm going to do this and I'm going to get it working, but you know, certain things take priority over others, and you know, I guess that's one of them. So, what do we have in store for tonight's show?
Well, you know, bit of news. I was going to give another go at my practical freaking guide.
Yeah. You're welcome to, if you want to.
I don't know. Entering. Rant or two. And hopefully a good pissing cup. Pretty much standard fit.
Hmm.
Without further ado, God damn it.
What?
Oh, sorry, cut out there for a second. You'd like to go ahead and kick off the news?
Yes, just to let everybody know who is already using Internet Explorer to stop, because there's been a zero-day Internet Explorer exploit that basically takes control of your PC. It uses a vulnerability in the JavaScript window exploit that enables malicious users to execute or install and pretty much do anything with the person's machine. For a demonstration of how something like that might look like, visit our forums, which can be found at www.hackervoice.co.uk/forums. And in general hacking, you'll find an example of the HTML code that will go into an exploit such as that. That current exploit is just a proof of concept that basically remotely executes calc.exe. Now, for your Linux users, you don't have to worry about this. It's theorized that it just crashes temporarily any other browser like Firefox. I've tested it on Firefox and found that it does absolutely nothing to it. Also, if you want to circumvent this and still use Mr. Internet Explorer, you can just modify the settings on the security to deny all scripting which kind of
off JavaScript.
Yeah, it kind of kicks you in the balls, but it's something you might want to do.
Or just don't use Internet Explorer.
Yeah, it's quite simple like that.
Yes, indeed.
Indeed. Any news from you?
Well, let's see. The AMD is launching a new chipset. That's always... is jumping onto the dual PCI Express graphics arena.
Yeah.
Offering a rapid-fire chipset for it. NVIDIA and ATI will both have to provide and require driver-level support technology, but it's looking like there's going to be really sick graphics cards coming out.
Mm-hmm.
As a side note, Dell is actually, for the first time in its history, offering computers with AMD chipsets. Not sure if you know, but back in, I believe it was 97, 98, Dell entered an agreement for a certain time period with Intel, stating they would not sell computers the AMD chipsets.
That's right.
Or basically Intel would cut them off from selling anything with the... Like, that contract is either run its course,
yeah,
or Dell has found a clever way to circumvent it, because they're offering, planning to offer in the very near future, the AMD chipsets and their computers. Very exciting.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I think Dell is going to lose out maybe quite a lot of market in the corporate market, because they're going to lose out quite a lot of cash in the corporate market, because maybe the corporates will be a bit hesitant to accept.
I think it's really that AMD's. Depends on Intel.
Yeah, I mean,
if they're going to go exclusively AMD,
yeah,
then maybe. But what they are going to be picking up is rock-solid 64-bit processing. Now, another little-known fact is that the Intel 64-bit processors, they actually lease the architecture from AMD. AMD's got Intel by the ball.
Yeah. You keep cutting that.
Oh, I was just saying that AMD has Intel by the ball.
Yeah. Oh, they do. But yeah, it's, I want to get myself one of those fucking, you know, the Dell XPS series with like RAID and something. It's like the home gaming stations. I want to see one of those bastards with AMD, and I want to see them running Linux. I think that would be cool if why don't they just take that, you know, full slog and actually go out there and build a customized configured machine that runs AMD, that's configured performance wise to Linux.
That would be really cool. I think they don't, because the market share for such a machine is pretty low.
Yeah.
But now what are you going to do?
It's a step in the right direction, at least.
Yeah. Definitely. The only other bit of news kind of ties into the freaking.
Mm-hmm.
But a service you may have heard me pimping out, the www.greatcalling.com.
Yeah.
Calling cards are very soon going to be offering a feature, much like their caller ID spoofing feature, which is not going to be advertised, but it is going to be able to pitch shift your voice.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to, like, drop your voice and speak like you're giving ransom demands,
mm-hmm,
or raise the pitch of your voice and pretend you're a female.
Yeah.
That's all in all, pretty cool.
That's weird. I just logged in twice from the server and now from my laptop.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Bastine.
Are you still VNC'd into that session?
No, I'm not.
Oh, right.
No, I'm trying to utilize as much bandwidth I can for the conversation. Try not to cut out as much.
Yeah.
don't know.
Weird. Anyway. Yeah.
It's been one of those odd computing weeks.
Yeah, it's definitely been fucked up. I mean, the reason I want to do this is because it's a personal challenge, and I'm talking about the private IRC server. Furthermore, it'll also enable us to have a private IRC server and not to rely on Dalnet. I think people will be happy to go that way, I think. I don't know.
I certainly will be.
I don't know what people say to that. You know, the only downside to it is we're reliant on my uptime of my internet connection, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
I've managed to streamline my firewall rules, which means that I won't need to reboot my firewall anytime soon, so that we can have, let's say, 99.9% uptime with regards to me. But then again, how good will my ISP be? We'll see how it goes. You know, if it's like every now and again my internet connection goes down, you'll know why the server's gone down. It's because my internet connection's gone down. There's no troubleshooting problems, you know. There's no, like, net splits, because there's only one fucking thing supporting the entire chat channel. Which is okay, because it goes back up again within a few minutes. So, I don't know, maybe we could just test the air for a while, see how it goes for, you know, a week or two.
Yeah, we'll have to play it out.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, nothing lost, nothing gained.
Precisely. Yeah. I mean, what do you think? Do you think it's a clever thing to get a private thing running for my network, or do you think?
Yeah, I do think it'd be good. Yeah. Right now, anything that's not Dalnet, I'm in favor of.
Yeah.
I'm just really tired of, like, wanting to hop on and not being able to.
Sure. Well, you know, you're guaranteed.
Through no fault of my own.
You're guaranteed a connection 24/7, literally, on my network, because it's going to be always up, and, you know, it's always going to be working. I actually got flagged by Dalnet today by their servers, stating that I'm running an open proxy, and I was disallowed to connect to any IRC server. From Dalnet.
Wow.
Now, I'd be interested to find out how they came to that assumption. Now, it could be, one, that I'm running three IRC sessions out of one internet connection. Two, that they port scan my network anyway all the time to find out what ports are open. This is true, because I can actually see the logs on my firewall that they are actually port scanning me. So they see I'm open to a few ports, you know. Maybe they're thinking that I'm running a proxy, you know, letting people jump on my network and then jump on the other one, or I've taken over somebody's network and I'm running a IRC proxy from there. Whatever way, I don't give a fuck, because I've managed to get it working.
Kind of rude of them not to ask.
It's very rude of them, and I don't give a shit, because I've bypassed their whatever they were running to get into IRC anyway, because I am on IRC now. So, you know, the sooner we step away from them, the better. This is why I'm going to dedicate as much time as we can to get this thing up and running at a beta stage for about 2 weeks. Let's give it a test run of 2 weeks. And move over everyone there, leave a message saying we're moving to blah blah blah, I give out my URL thing and connect to this, and it should be okay. For the past 2 days, I've been running a Warsaw server on my network, and I've seen so many people connecting to my network. It's amazing, and, you know, playing around, they're playing their games on my server and everything. It's pretty cool. It's quite a good feeling, actually. I don't know how long that will be available, because obviously with speed and stuff concerned, I want to be able to maximize my speed, but I do want it to be a thing that is available to us. Let's say if somebody was, you know, FPS enough to want to have their own Hacker Voice clan, then, you know, why the hell not? You know, we can run a Warsaw FPS server.
Or why not? We have the server.
Yeah. But yeah, anyone's welcome to contribute with their suggestions.
Yeah, through IRC or our forum.
Yeah. I think the most part I'm getting.
So what happened to Planet this evening?
Did you see his email?
Oh, I didn't even check my email yet.
Basically, he went off to. He went pheasant shooting. And,
lovely.
Yeah, and he said he's about fucked now. So he's probably pretty tired. And he won't be able to do a show. So fair enough.
Oh, well, at least he's got a good excuse.
Yeah. See, if I came up with an excuse, it would probably be, well, I was trying to set up a fucking IRC server for you guys, and, oh, so that's why you can't be on the show. Well, you know, yeah. You noob.
Noob. You McNoobish. All right then. If we have no more news, I'll hop into this.
Okay. You do that.
All right. Should I reiterate some of the stuff I was going into yesterday? I think I really should.
Yeah. If you just want to just rehash it.
In the beginning, there was the telephone. And it was good. This is Boxing in Briefs.
Yeah.
A practical field guide to freaking in the United Kingdom. Alright, we're going to start off with a brief talk about boxes. Now, invariably, when somebody comes into freaking, they start hopping on Google. They start looking at things, and they get the impression that freaking is all about making these little boxes that you can plug into a phone line, and they do all kinds of wild stuff. I have to insist that this is not the case.
Oh, fuck.
That was the case of freaking back in the 1970s. What was that?
I said, fuck, I've been going wrong all these times.
Yes, fortunately. It's amazing what 20-year-old text files can do to a man.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. I do check the
However,
dates
there are primarily... There are primarily three boxes that are still in use, although only one that's really useful all the time. Those, of course, would be the blue box, the red box, and the beige box. Now, the blue box, for all intents and purposes, is pretty much dead. The way that a blue box worked, and notice the past tense there.
Yeah.
Is there was a time, a great time, when all switches were analog switches that ran on servos and circuit relays so that when a connection was made between two lines, it was actually a physical connection. These switches were called crossbar switches, and when the line was not connected, it used to blow a tone, whistle it, if you will, back and forth on the tandem, letting the switch know that that tandem was not in use. Now, this tone is the ever-famous 2600 tone in the United States and, I believe, the United Kingdom.
That's right.
Now, what one could do is dial a phone number, have the switch connect that, and then blow this tone into the line. Now, that made the switch think that the call was disconnected, but in fact it was not. The two tandems were still connected to one another. Now, if you used the blue box to dial out from there, you were actually dialing out from the line that you had just called, which allowed you to do a thing called tandem stacking, where you would call one tandem, blow the tone, drop the call, have that connection, and then call out from there on another tandem, and you could route calls pretty much anywhere this way. Now, it's important to note that when routing these calls, you're not using standard DTMF signals, But you're using the signals that the switch actually uses, which are multi-frequency tones, but they don't really resemble DTMF in any way, shape, or form. Now, in the advent of digital switching, switches simply do not work this way anymore. So you can whistle 2600 hertz into a phone until your face turns blue. And it's not going to do anything except, you know, maybe make you a bit lightheaded. However, there are still some ways to actually utilize a blue box. And that involves using either toll or toll-free numbers to connect to switches that are in areas that have not updated into modern digital switching yet. A couple examples of this would be some parts of Poland and a good deal of South America. Now, if you were to do that, and I went into doing this a little bit in part one and how you can identify that sort of thing, if you had your tones in order, you would then be able to seize tandems, much like you could in the 1970s. And play around with that. And though this is very interesting stuff to do, unless you speak Spanish or Polish or any of the other languages that you're calling there, it's going to become difficult to do much with it, unless, of course, you can find a way to route the call back out of whatever country you're doing. But then you have to realize you only have one end point of termination after that, as far as the international calls, though, because you're going to hit a system that uses digital switching, and you're no longer going to be able to seize any tandem. Now, the blue box was pretty much what put freaking on the map. Little known fact, or maybe it is a known fact, I don't even know anymore. But Steve Wozniak, for instance, was a phone freak before he went on to invent and develop the Apple computer. Freaking is basically the forefather of hacking. The people that were developing ways to manipulate the phone systems in the late 60s and the 1970s, all the way up to, you know, the mid-80s, pretty much, kind of laid the groundwork for computer hacking, as it were. And I think one of the reasons for this is that a lot of early hacking that wasn't hardware hacking was done through the only networking method of the day, which was dial-up modems, which utilized the telephone networks. The whole hacking and freaking became intertwined at that point. At this point in our history, they're not so connected as they used to be. So I'm going to move away from the blue box and onto the red box. Now, the red box is an interesting little tidbit. Payphones, up until fairly recently, used to rely on a central office to authenticate the actual coins that were dropped into the payphone to place the call. They did this very simply by placing the coins into the payphone and sending a blurt of tones across the line and to the central office, which it would then recognize the tones and credit, basically, the call with the amount of money that it had heard dropped in. Now, used to be, you could very easily dial a call, it would ask you to deposit the money, you could replicate these tones into the telephone, allow them to hit the central office, which point the central office would not be able to distinguish between those tones and the tones that the payphone would send, tricking it into thinking the payphone had actually deposited money, and the call would be placed. Now, initially, the early way that they got around the entire red boxing phenomenon was that once the call was dialed and they were asking to deposit money, they would mute the headset so that you could not play tones in. Now, an easy way around that, of course, would be having, you know, direct access to the actual phone line and being able to put the tones into it through that way. Now, as the way things stand now, the authentication process is done within the payphone itself and then digitally relayed to the central office to place the call, or to the COCOT office, depending on what you're dialing on. So redboxing has become infinitely more difficult. Now, there are several instances in which you can still redbox. The first of which would be on a very old payphone that, for whatever reason, still has the old authentication methods hooked up. Now, this wouldn't be a COCOT. It would have to be a BT payphone. And it would also most likely be fairly close to the central office. I'm not exactly sure how to go about finding one of those, as I can't just hit the streets of London and, you know, play around with every payphone that I find. But they are still out there, though very, very rare. The other way that this could be done is by dialing a phone number, which then hits a BT service that has this kind of authentication set up as a way of collecting the money for a toll service. Now, I don't have any firsthand knowledge of if these exist, but I know in the United States there are certain instances where you'll say dial directory assistance, and it'll ask you to deposit money. And instead of authenticating the money, the way the money is paid, through the payphone, it will actually use the old ACTS or ACT system. Now, that being said, there's really no reason in this day and age not to pay for your phone calls. On the advent of voice over IP, telephone calls are so ridiculously cheap that it kind of makes toll fraud pointless. Beyond which, there are little tricks and ways around it so that you're not going to have to either pay the full amount that you would need to under normal circumstances or get the call for free. And I'll go into those a bit later. The third box that I want to talk to you about is probably the only box that is worth actually having in your kit for any real purposes, and that's a beige box. Now, a beige box really isn't a box. What a beige box is a telephone. You've taken the telephone line and cut off the jack, separated the wires, and attached alligator clips either to all four wires or three in the UK, I believe. You have ring tip and the bell shunt.
I think it's actually four.
The fourth is probably a ground then.
Yeah.
But on modern telephone equipment, there's only really two that you actually need, and that's the ring and tip. Now, what it does basically is it allows you to take a small or just a telephone, but it would probably be small, being that you're going to be lugging it around. No sense taking an old rotary.
You could.
And being able to actually go into either a cross box, a junction box, even the box on the outside of the house, which is a service box, and being able to hook your alligator clips up to the ring and tip and get a dial tone. Now, what this is doing is it's simulating a lineman's handset. Although not very well, because you don't have any of the voltage tests, the amperage tests, and things along those lines that a typical modern lineman's handset will have. Always nifty in a pinch if you don't have a phone jack, but there's a bunch of wires hanging out, or if you're into urban exploration and you want to actually get into those sort of... Or, you know, poking about in places that you really shouldn't be. But all in all, in modern days, boxing has very little to do with freaking. Except in those rare instances where you can take something that was very old and is supposed to be antiquated and make it work again. which is always fun and is always a good thing. It's always nice to go back and see things that should have been fixed decades ago and find ways that they haven't actually been fully fixed. Modern phreaking has more to do with the telephone systems, understanding how they work, how they interchange with one another, and they're more about more subtle manipulations, and also about the exploration of the phone system in general. Now, as a recommendation to anybody who's interested in getting to phreaking, the best thing that you can do to start is a technique that's called scanning. Now, scanning is quite simply choosing a block of numbers, dialing each one, and noting what they are. I prefer when I do any kind of scanning to take a 100-number block and a sheet of paper. I write down each one. I'm kind of old school that way. I like to do it all by hand. And call them and know what they are. Know maybe what the person says when they pick up or if it's something interesting. Things you're looking for are PBX exchanges, something that asks you to dial extensions, voicemail boxes, test lines. Calling card numbers, interesting internal phone numbers for companies, carriers, as in modem tones, fax machines, error messages. Error messages can be a lot of fun. I know it sounds kind of geeky to say, but sometimes you find some really neat error messages. Couple cool ones that I've run across in just some 800 scanning was this call cannot be completed as dialed messages in Japanese and Spanish. I've always found cool. I found one in French. There was a neat one that I'd seen somebody else had found, but I called it, and it tells you that the number has been changed and then gives you the same number that you called as the number it's been changed to. Funny little discrepancies like that. Some people take it so far as to, note who actually made the error recordings and what company they're from, and then sort of figure that out as a way of, at least in the United States, we don't have, one telephone company. We have a bunch of interlocking ones. Another thing that you could be looking for are just phone numbers, that unlisted numbers, phone numbers that connect to things that that interest you. And also, by, doing regular scans and things along that line, you can sort of map, in a sort of sense, the telephone system and what's out there. Now, as far as how to choose, what you're going to scan, for the most part, it can be very random. If you're going to scan locally because you have free local dialing, go ahead and start scanning your local exchanges. I don't recommend scanning sequentially, because that sort of thing can trigger sort of red flags with telephone billing systems and telco security. Not that I've really heard of anybody that's had major problems from scanning, but some places it is illegal to make a phone call without the intent of talking to the person on the other line. I'm not sure if that is something that applies in the UK, or if it just applies in certain provinces of the UK or whichever.
Check
with your local laws.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know, but I'm sure it doesn't apply if you just call somebody and put down. Companies do it regularly, so you're exempt.
Generally, is this I don't know, this is just something I do, but if it's actually a person that answers the phone, I generally say, oh, I'm sorry, I have the wrong number. I don't know. I just mostly do it because I don't like to get hung up on, and I don't hang up on other people. But that's just one of my... So yeah, scanning is really the first thing you want to do. You should always note what you called, because you never know when you're going to get something that's really interesting. You just don't know it's interesting yet. So keeping records of your scans can be very good. Now, sort of a tangent of scanning would be war dialing, which is much, much quicker. But you don't quite garnish as much information. In war dialing, you take a program like ToneLoc with a modem, and you'd program it to scan a certain exchange or a certain set of numbers, basically looking for a carrier, looking modem tones. And that's an interesting way of finding you know, remote computers. And it's not by any means, any stretch of the imagination, really dying out in the advent of IP-based technology. There are always little quirky things. The one thing that majority, if not all, of the systems that you're get into the dubious legalities of trying to crack passwords, dial up, which I would not advocate, sir. Let's see. Okay. Now we're going to go into voice over IP a little bit. Voice over IP is kind of like, you know, sort of blown the market wide open, if you will. It is now possible to get dirt cheap calling to pay for only the calls that you make on extremely low rates. It is possible to have, you know, national calling absolutely for free. Extremely inexpensive international calling, if not free international calling. And it all goes over your broadband line. It's really a wonderful thing, and there are different protocols that it uses. Some of the protocols, such as the Inter-Asterisk Exchange Protocol, allow you to do things that you would normally only be able to do on a PRI with an ISDN line, such as change your caller ID. It's really like, gosh, I don't even know how to describe it. It's big. It's big, baby. And the interesting thing is that you don't necessarily have to invest any money, really, to be able to begin to use voice over IP. It's probably going to take an investment of some money if you want to use it as your primary, you know, telephone. But there are things like Free World Dial-Up or Skype, which will allow you to make voice over IP calls, but only to other Free World Dial-Up or Skype customers. Now, this doesn't work like normal telephone dialing would. Some of them have instant messenger type programs that allow you to do the interface. Personally, I do not prefer that type of interface. I like to have a soft phone that looks like a phone, preferably one that has like a little image of a keypad that I can dial with a mouse on. Such as, I don't know, it's the X10, old X10, Counterpath, that's it. They make the X Lite. It's a free soft phone. I'm talking on it right now. It's very good. I'd like to get the pro version to be able to enable the conferencing feature on it, but I don't think they sell it anymore because they're moving away from the X Lite and X Pro Foundation, and they're making some very neat things for Windows computers and for Palm devices, but they're moving away from this. But this also has a client for Mac, for Windows, and for Linux, and it works very well. An interesting little thing I wanted to mention to you was if you're out there in the UK, you can actually use the X10 soft phone, Free World Dial-Up, and GreatCalling.com to be able to make free international calls to the United States. Very simple. X10 allows you to make toll-free calls or calls to toll-free numbers in 5 different countries. So as soon as you get your Free World Dial-Up account and you get your soft phone configured to use it, you can use Free World Dial-Up to call the 1-866 dial-in number for the free calling cards given away at greatcalling.com, and then use them to call any number in the United States. And it's absolutely for free. Now, granted, that's only outward dialing. You don't get free inward dialing. But another thing you can do through Free World Dial-Up is you can actually have a UK London number associated with your Free World Dial-Up account, which will allow anybody to dial that number in the UK, and it will ring the soft phone on your computer. Or if you have an ATA, you can configure your ATA to be able to ring a normal telephone. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely. And I think that pretty much concludes my primer. If there's anything, Belial, you'd like to add.
Yeah, I definitely want to say that, you know, anything that you do, go out there, do, and, you know, if you're doing scanning, if you're just doing some urban exploration, if you come across an interesting payphone, if you come across interesting errors or something like that, do definitely record them, you know, note them down somehow, post them on a forum, let other people know, put them in a text file, have a photograph, have a bit of video or something like that, so that somebody else can see, because there's geeks out there that may not be as fortunate enough to be able to do that kind of stuff, or may not live in that area, and it's all about spreading information. So, yeah.
Lyle, do you know the number of a good toll-free ANAC in the UK?
No, I don't.
Ah. Well, an ANAC is an automated number announcement circuit. I know quite a few in the United States. I don't know any in the UK, although I do believe that if payphones work the same way as landline telephones do, like the regular residential plain old telephone system lines, pulling up the information now, there should be a number that you can dial, which will read off the number that the phone... Don't do this to me now. Well, there's several ANAC that I use in the United States. One, you can either use an ANI ANAC, which is something that reads off your ANI. They have CPN ANAC, which read your calling party number. And you have basically CID ANAC, which read off whatever your caller ID is. Usually your CPN and your caller ID. Your ANA might not necessarily.
We've got a list. We've got a number from Heprin. I hope I said that right.
Heprin. Oh, here we go.
It's
a long message.
It's going to be 0808 17 08.
Gives you a long message, but it's going to read off the phone number that you're dialing it from. A neat thing to do is go to a payphone that maybe does or doesn't have the number listed on it.
Sure.
Dial that number and listen in as to what the phone number is of that payphone. Write it down and either take your mobile or when you get home, dial that number. It's better if you have the mobile because then you can actually listen to see if it's ringing.
Yeah.
And if it does ring, go ahead and post it on our forums or things like that. Because another interesting part of freaking is a lot of times a freak will like to call a payphone at a random location,
yeah,
and just, you know,
talk
ask to somebody how the weather is or what they're up to.
I think we might be able to do that right now, if you want.
Let's do it.
There is a payphone that is located in Soho in UK. I'm currently ringing that ANAC. Through Skype, I might add, so I don't think it'll work.
Welcome to 1666. Your 1-8-6-6 customer number is 3384083999.
We're sorry to inform you your bank has declined payment. The outstanding amount is
£2.89.43.
Holy crap!
For further details, how to set your outstanding balance, please visit our website. www.call1886.co.uk and log into your account. Your payment may have been refused due to several reasons, but unfortunately, our card acquirer cannot inform us why a payment has been declined.
Oh.
To have the outstanding amount collected from a different credit debit card, please visit www.call1886.co.uk and log into your account. If you do not have an alternative card, you can settle the outstanding amount via online banking or check. Please go to www.call1886.co.uk and log into your account for more details. We're sorry to inform you, your bank has...
That was pretty awesome. That's,
okay, so that phone number that it read out...
Yeah. Was
that's the PSTN number that Skype uses to dial out... Or at least one of the PSTN numbers that Skype uses to dial out in the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. There's a bit of freaking right there. We just received something quite unexpected there.
And quite humorous.
Yes. Well, apparently...
They've racked up quite a bill.
They have indeed.
Now, if you were to do that from a payphone...
Yeah.
It would read off the number of the payphone. In theory.
In theory.
So let's call that payphone.
1 second, I'm just trying to find the number. When was that night we were... Was it the 19th, the Friday? It was, wasn't it?
I think.
Okay, well, this is, hopefully, the payphone. If not, it's just some random person I have on my... phone number. Probably nobody will pick up. The actual payphone is right located, situated right next to a public urinal. Don't think anybody's going to pick up.
Is that the one in Waterloo Station?
No, that was the one in Soho, close to Leicester Square.
Oh, okay.
Right next to an outdoor public male urinal, which I took a picture of myself doing a shit in. Did I post that picture? I think I did. No, I don't think I did. Anyway, that picture's going to get posted up on the gallery.
Okay, let's try this one.
Okay.
0171.
Wait a second.
928.
You said 0171.
Yep.
That was our X numbering system. It's going to be 0207 now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah. 0171.
Okay,
and
so 0207.
Okay.
928.
928.
3074. This should be the Eurostar Departure Lounge at Waterloo Station.
Just to let everyone know, I think we went over this before. 0207 is inner London, central London. 0208 is greater London. They changed the numbering scheme a few years back, where 0171 used to be inner London, 0181 used to be outer London, and now they've switched that over. So let's give this a go.
Why don't people answer the payphone?
Your finance. Not many people do.
Okay, I'm going to get somebody on a payphone.
Cool.
That freaking kills me.
Seeing as it is the freaking episode.
All right. I'm going to use one that I know to work. And we're not going to be able to talk to him unless anybody here is handy with their Spanish. Or not Spanish, Italian.
Oh, no way.
Okay. The number is +390.
Okay.
669.
Mm-hmm.
82.
82. Is that it?
Yep, that's it.
That's quite a short number.
Yes. The Vatican.
Right. Fuck. Ooh, interesting ringtone.
Yes.
Central. Hey.
Hello?
How are you? Speak English?
Oh, we just got owned by the Vatican.
This is one of the downfalls to calling nations.
Yeah, which...
So you don't quite speak the...
native language.
Language? Okay, let's try something in Germany.
Okay.
Try to find some... Let's see. It's a little bit earlier... No, later there, isn't it?
Yeah. It's going to be about an hour onto us. So it's about 11 over there.
All right, then something... Oh, it doesn't have a... Berlin beer phone doesn't have a, Dresden payphone booth? Bremen? Oh, Munich train station. Oh, why don't they have... Right? Try... Prague?
Okay.
I just have, I think it's +00.
That's weird.
But it's 00.
Yeah.
420.
00420.
2.
2.
2011. 3106.
4202.
It's a 00.
Wait.
420.
Yeah.
2.
Right. 420. 2.
2011.
211. Yeah.
3106.
3106. Let's hope this works. No, I didn't like the 00.
Didn't like the zeros?
No.
Try it with just the country code and the 420.
What's the country code?
I don't know much about Prague payphones.
What's the country code?
Your country code.
Oh, 44.
I'm assuming theirs is 42. I don't know. We may just be calling a random number at this point.
Number doesn't exist.
Okay. Craptacular. Feed in. Okay, here's one for you.
+46 712 48 9 02. Didn't like that either.
Oh.
This number cannot be made from the current location. Number forbidden.
Owned.
Yeah.
Let's see here now. I doubt they're going to answer in Antarctica. Australia. Okay, let's try, +64
Yeah.
4
Yeah.
384
Uh-huh.
2359
Okay.
Valitsemanne numero on epätäydellinen. Numretni slug är ofullständig. The number you dialed is incomplete. Valitsemanne numero on epätäydellinen. Numretni slug är ofullständig. The number you dialed is incomplete. Valitsemanne numero...
That's still pretty cool.
Oh, where's 2600 megahertz when you need it?
Okay, let's try... let's see, +011 612 3868 1559
1559 9 Invalid number.
Ah. One thing to note when calling international payphones. Some people's numbering systems don't make any sense compared to our own.
No. And I've just lost my Skype in number. I have to re-subscribe.
Huh.
Yeah, because I only subscribed for like 3 months.
Ah, that'll do it.
I'll do it later. Can we fuck to do it now?
See if there's anything more interesting in the United States and Canada. Bermuda.
Let's call my ex-girlfriend.
Puerto Rico.
So, how are you doing?
I'll say. California. Do we have any California numbers earlier there? Only like 3:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Hollywood Boulevard. Number. Damn it. Just with people posting pictures of payphones but not posting the payphone number. Haven't they heard of an annex? Oh, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
The Los Angeles Marriott. Okay. It's going to be United States number.
Uh-huh. 01.
213.
213.
972.
Uh-huh.
9492.
Okay. Wait, 01. It's coming up as invalid number. Is it not plus 00? Plus 01. It's 01, isn't it? For US.
I guess. I don't ever call internationally to the United States.
It's going to be plus 01. You are US plus 01, but it's not working.
I think so.
Wait, maybe it's not.
I don't know. Oh no, 011.
I put plus 121. Let's see if this works.
How do you typically dial to the United States?
Plus 01 or something, I don't know. I don't know, this could be a completely random number.
Oh, there we
number.
Go. That's a US ringtone.
Yeah.
We're sorry, you have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service. If you feel you have reached this recording in error, please check the number and try your call again.
Yes, I think I've reached it in error. Give me the damn thing again.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Okay, let's try this one.
Okay.
It's on the Walk of Stars in Hollywood Boulevard.
Uh-huh.
It's 323.
Uh-huh.
462.
Uh-huh.
9230.
Okay.
Oh, but it says no incoming calls, so it might just work out. I don't know.
It's ringing.
Ooh. You know what that is?
Sounds like fun to me.
Okay, enough of that. But what that was is that is a Kokai.
That's right.
Proprietary carrier tone.
Mm-hmm. So it's not your standard.
Pretty interesting.
It's not your standard fax machine. It's not your standard fax tone. It's a proprietary handshake tone.
For a Kokai.
Yep. Yeah. There you go. A little more freaking for you. See, even when things don't go right, they go right.
Yeah. Which we found that earlier.
Okay, here's another one for you. This is an a laundromat. So you can ask them if their dirty unders got clean.
Yeah. We're doing a survey on
yeah. We're doing a survey on spoiled underwear.
Yeah.
Were you able to get those stains out, sir? Okay, it's 650.
Uh-huh.
348. 9911.
Okay. Did you say 648?
Yes. No, 348.
I put 650-348.
650-348.
Oh, okay, good, good, good. Sorry. Just calling like, hello!
Margaret, is that you?
I think they're all busy washing them.
Well, just let it ring. They won't be able to stand it for much longer.
Have to pick up the phone. They just get freaked out. I mean, would you not get pretty freaked out if just like a payphone next to you just started ringing randomly?
It's happened to me before. Yeah. Usually I pick it up.
Yeah. I pick it up.
I said, Eagle One, take the shot. And then I hang it up.
Oh, I don't think they're answering, man.
Son of a bitch. Okay, let's call a high school.
Okay.
This is Van Nuys High School in Van Nuys, Cedrus, 6535 Cedrus Avenue, Van Nuys, California.
Cool.
The number is 818-997-9242.
Hello. Wow. Cocot.
Damn Cocots.
Yeah. It picked up pretty quickly.
Now, invariably, if you call a Cocot that does not accept incoming calls, you'll be bounced straight to their modem tone, which is used to program the firmware for the payphone itself. This is a tremendous pain in the ass.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Are you getting tired of this, or shall we do some more?
Let's do a few more, and then let's get on with
fixing
the RC7.
Okay, let's try the 7-Eleven.
Oh, yes.
On Victory Boulevard.
Can I get an order?
Yo, man, you got the shit? It is 818-997- 9917.
Do you want to talk, seeing as you're American?
It's actually probably more surreal if you do, but okay.
Yeah. You'd be like, I can't speak English properly. Can I pass you to my American friend? Hi there.
Hey, how's it going, man? You're speaking on Hacker Voice Radio, live from the UK. How's the weather in sunny California? Hello?
Hello, can you hear us?
Is Bob there?
Hi, we need to speak to Bob.
He hung up on us.
No, he's still connected.
Really?
Yeah.
Hello, sir.
Hello, sir. Hello. We're trying to get through to a guy called Bob. Oh, you asshole. I think that deserves a callback, don't you?
I think that does deserve a callback.
Hi. You hang up, please.
Not going to answer. No. He fears.
He fears. Noob.
Buenos dias, señor. ¿Cómo está?
Oh, dear.
Señor?
Yes?
Quiero taqui bell.
You know, I put down.
Yo, aquí están sus ropas con mis dientes ahí.
You know, I put down on that call.
Ay, chaquetas son muy lindas, todas lindas.
You feeling alright there?
No. I've caught the Mexican flu.
Did you eat a taco and then...
Yeah, something along those lines. Taco Bell did me in. It's horrible, horrible. Are we still connected to that payphone?
No.
No, it just hung up?
No, I hung up on him. It wasn't going to pick up, so I hung up.
Oh, I see. Dang. I thought I was talking to him. He sounded kind of like a Hispanic. So I
yeah, he did.
But I'd humor him. That was kind of funny, though. He seemed rather confused.
Yeah, he did.
All right, when calling random payphones, maybe we should be a little more, like, gentle about it. Be like, since we already know where it is, be like, yes, is this 1455 Victory Boulevard? Oh, okay, yeah. I was wondering, did they repave the sidewalk recently?
I'm lost.
Well, you see, I can see pictures of these payphones. So I could be like, is that stain on the wall still there? All right, let's try another payphone outside a laundromat.
Cool.
This is 818.
Uh-huh.
989.
Uh-huh.
9363.
9363.
Affirmative.
Hopefully it's not a co-cop.
Doesn't look like it from the photo. Oh.
Doesn't look like it, but it sure fucking smells like one.
Sure as hell sounds like one, bitch.
Yeah.
What is this aside of? Halig Mare. Wow, this looks like a really trashy part of town.
Maybe we can
Holy
get some
crap.
Holes on the phone.
It also looks like a cocotte, but we should try it anyway.
Yeah.
This is in North Hollywood. Strip mall center of the world.
Nice.
It's 818 506 9418.
Okay. Isn't this fun?
It's tons of fun.
It's P-H-U-N.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer...
Oh, dear.
From the neighborhood, it looks like they disconnected the payphone from the wall.
Yeah.
All right, let's see here. Let's move to a different state. California's getting kind of played out.
Yeah.
Oh, it's real early in Hawaii. Let's see. Library, bus stop. I got somebody on this one once. I asked them how tall the hedge was. Because there's a hedge, like, about 45 degrees, negative 45 degrees, like, to
yeah.
their left. And in the picture, it's, like, 3.5 feet tall.
You wouldn't know if it's grown.
But the number there is 808-732-9280, and this is in Honolulu.
Honolulu, wow.
Dude.
Sounds fucking exotic.
Oh, there's really pretty flowers painted on the side of this one.
Cool. Sounds exotic.
It's very exotic.
We got a dial tone. I mean, fucking ringtone. Noob.
Ringtone.
Noob. Do do do.
What, nobody's at the library in the middle of the afternoon?
The craziest thing is that, like, somewhere in fucking Hawaii, there's a payphone actually ringing there. And somebody's looking at this
yeah.
thing going, why is this thing ringing? And we're here, sitting here. It's crazy.
Yeah, I have to admit to that. That is the thing about freaking me. You can literally just use your finger to touch a few buttons, and, you know, somewhere halfway around the world, something physically happens.
Yeah, this thing is making loads of noise. Like, something in there is vibrating to create noise, and there's a disturbance of, you know, energy across the world from you. And, you know, somebody's taking a look at this phone and going, this thing's ringing. And now it's stopped ringing. What the hell's going on? Sort of thing.
Ooh, here we go. Here's a nice one in Colorado Springs on a street corner that deputy sheriffs like to hang out on.
Oh, cool.
Sweet. The phone number is 719-596-9579.
We're sorry, you have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service.
No.
If you feel you have reached this recording in error...
Never mind. You know why...
That's only like 3:45.
You know why nobody picked up
You want another
that?
Hawaii?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me check. Looking. Oh, a bus stop.
You know why nobody picked up...
Give me a number.
On the UK phone number.
What's that?
I said, do you know why nobody picked up on the UK payphone?
No, why?
Because it's fucking cold, man. Nobody's going to stand there for like half an hour going, hello?
Oh, as a side note, it's snowing here.
Right. How about I delay my flight? Till next season.
Till it starts to warm up.
Yeah.
All right. This one's at a Waikiki bus stop in Honolulu.
Wow.
This is 808-922. Holy crap! That's not a complete phone number. It's 808-922-999. Try 9999.
99.
What the hell?
99. We might get something interesting.
Could be somebody's grandmother.
Yeah.
Who the hell knows?
Could just be the sexy voice of that operator going, if you have reached this, then please check the number and try again. It's ringing
the dreaded ring out.
I mean, that's got to be a number. It's ringing for too long.
Yeah. But nobody's taking the bus?
Yeah. Can you hear how it kind of closes off at the end of the ring?
Yeah.
It goes... Poof.
Kind of odd.
Can you hear that?
You want to call a payphone on a glacier?
On a glacier?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Yeah, man.
It's on the Worthington Glacier in Alaska.
Come on, then.
Oh, they don't give a number.
Oh, damn.
Damn it. It's a pretty funny payphone. It's actually, like, on a river. That's pretty freaking funny.
You know that payphone in the middle of the desert? In the Mojave Desert?
No, I haven't seen that.
No? They took it down, man. Actually, I've got a rant by Sean Kennedy about it. Sean Kennedy, where is
it? Why, nobody was using it? It wasn't cost effective?
No, people went out there to actually check this thing out, and they were so stupid not to bring water. and stuff like that. But they had to take this down for this, so for the safety of others. Idiot.
You're going to go out in the middle of the desert, but you're not going to bring water with you?
I know. It's probably like
you're apparently an idiot.
I know. Do you have...
If there's any good ones in New York. People are always up in New York. Oh, let's see. There's one in the Tonawanda Coke plant, but that's, like, going to be closed right now. I'm trying to find one in Manhattan that's, like, near a place that somebody would be, like a bar.
Yeah.
Ow, there's a payphone graveyard.
What?
I would love to go there. Whoa. They have some really cool things. Long Island. Let's try this one. Right outside a restaurant. So who the hell... Oh, this is one of the fun ones that has the lock across it. Oh, and of course, no. Well, we could call some interesting numbers that aren't payphones.
Okay.
All right, well, let's start off with, you know, my personal favorite. And you're going to have to go through the Great Calling to do this.
Go through what, sorry?
You're going to have to go through that calling card thing?
Am I?
The 866-681 3947.
Why is that?
Because this is the elevator.
Oh, right, okay. I don't think that's going to work because I'm going to have to do it through X-Lite and I don't want to drop your call. So do you want to leave that for some other time?
You can't do that through Skype?
No. It remember, we tried it and it's still messed up.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay. Let's see what else I have on the list of interest. Let's dial a toll-free annex.
Okay.
In the United States through Skype and see what it tells us. That'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Dial 877 823
2565. Cool.
This number is brought to you by Strom Carlson.
Internal error. I'll try again. No, it's coming up with internal error. Please try again.
Maybe it just doesn't like calls from international numbers. Okay, try 800-444. 4444.
800-44.
807 fours.
Okay. Fuck me, that's a weird number.
Yep. NCI for you.
Thank you for calling NCI. Our system indicates you are calling from 719-555-1212. If this is the number you are calling about, press 1. If not, press 2.
No, don't press anything.
Your call may be taped for coaching and development of our associates. During this call, we may ask permission to review your account to discuss our products or services.
Like, not training. No, keep with this. This is fun.
Oh, shit. Sorry, I disconnected.
Oh. That's funny, because you know what 719-555-1212 is.
What's that?
National Directory Assistance for Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So we could say we're having a problem with... I don't know. Do you want to do this?
You can say whatever the hell you want. It just means they can't trace your number.
Yeah. For calling MCI, our system indicates you are calling from 646-722-7851. If this is the number you are calling about, press 1.
Try it again.
If not...
Wow.
See, because when you... When you have an ANI fail,
yeah,
it'll read it off as Colorado Springs long distance national directory.
Sure.
Weird. But then the second time,
thank you for calling NCI. Our system indicates you are calling from 646-722-7851. If this is the number you are calling about, press 1. If not,
that was 646-727-7211.
That's right.
Okay. Welcome to another part of Freaking, researching phone numbers.
Thank you for calling MCI. Our system indicates you are calling from 213-596-6349. If this is the number you are calling about, press 1. If not, press...
What was that, 213?
I didn't catch it.
Do it again.
You get a different number each time, which is quite interesting as well.
That's really cool, though. I'm noting these.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling MCI. Our system indicates you are calling from 719-555.
This is the one to hang on to.
1212. So if this is the number you are calling about, press 1.
So basically,
if
ANI,
not, press 2.
ANI has failed.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk?
Sure.
Your call may be taped for coaching and development of our associates. During this call, we may ask permission to review your account to discuss our products or services.
By the way, what's MCI?
Great news! Get a $10 credit on your MCI bill when you sign up to pay your bill automatically with MCI's Easy Pay and your American Express card by November 30th, 2005. You'll also get a dollar off your bill every month when you use Easy Pay. Ask a representative for more details or go to www.mci.com/MX credit.
You know something funny?
All representatives are assisting other customers.
That number,
please continue
646,
to hold. A representative will be with you shortly, or you can review and service your own account at www.mci.com/service.
What are we going to say? To, though.
Yeah, definitely singing along to old music.
Let's see, wait, I had some I had a number for some good on-hold music around here somewhere. Actually, that's all the number is. It's like it plays elevator music. Where is that? Looking. Found! It's 800.
Uh-huh.
573-4547.
Please wait.
You're the Hacker Voice Radio.
Home forever.
Come on.
Where we take you from work to home and into bed. This is the freaking hour. Wow. Who runs that service?
Yeah, that is definitely a great service to offer. Okay, here's a good UK number.
Okay.
It's 0871
789
Yeah. 3642.
Okay. And 30 seconds. At the third stroke, it will be 11 o'clock and 30 seconds.
Stroke.
At the third stroke, it will be 11 o'clock and 50 seconds.
11 o'clock.
At the third stroke, it will be 11
o'clock.
One.
Oh.
Precisely.
Precisely.
Oh my God.
At the third stroke, it will be 11.
No, I know precisely the time.
And 10 seconds.
Okay, kill this. This is a heart attack waiting to happen.
Suicide in progress.
You like that one?
Yeah, I love that one.
Okay, now we're going to call the American version.
Okay.
It is American number 303-499-7111. This is the atomic clock in Colorado.
Will it blow up?
I hope. Whistle
reached,
at it.
You've reached the atomic clock.
Boom!
Press 9 for detonation. Countdown.
At the tone, 23 hours, 2 minutes. Coordinated universal time.
That's pretty cool.
I like how it actually plays the tones of the clock.
Yeah.
Afterwards. That's kind of neat.
I want to find the Greenwich one. I went to actually see the atomic clock in Greenwich.
Interestingly enough, though that was the one in Colorado,
yeah,
that was set to Greenwich Mean Time.
Really?
Well, yeah, didn't you hear the time?
No, I missed it.
The 2300 hours and 2 minutes?
Right, yeah.
I tell you, it's not 2,300 hours here. 1,800 hours here.
Okay, well, not to make the show any bigger than 5,000 megabytes.
All right. Hacker Voice Radio, 5 gigs of freaking.
Dot AVI, dot zip, dot GZ, dot, dot tar, dot GZ.
We should start releasing shows as tarballs.
Yeah.
Then we'd be leet.
Yeah. With a little text file with ASCII.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. You've listened to the second and final part.
That's right.
Of the freaking spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
It was freaking awesome, man.
Yeah, why?
All
I
right.
I think it's back to work on the IRC server for us, and I hope you enjoyed tonight's episode. Hope to bring you another quality-free, impartial episode tomorrow.
I unfortunately will not be making it.
No.
As the man has got me down.
That's right, and the date of today's episode is on the 22nd of November 2005. So it's a good night for me.
And a good night for me as well. If you liked it, tell your friends. If you hated it, tell your enemies.
Yeah. Goodbye and good night. Beep. Beep. Beep.
At the tone,
beep.
The time will be
beep.
2600
beep.
Hours.
Beep. 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 Beep, 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 beep. The atomic clock has gone atomic. Anyway, I'll finish off with Sean Kennedy, Blair Witch Ranked.
I was going to my video store the other day, and I happened to pick up a copy of The Blair Witch Project, and I gotta say that after all the footage is said and done, I'm glad those guys are dead. I mean, really, how fucking dumb can you possibly be? Wait, I'm going to go into the middle of the woods, search for some supernatural shit, and nobody brought guns, okay? Holy fuck, here's how The Blair Witch Project would want if Sean was one of the crowd. Wait a minute, we have a whole bunch of shit that's happening. Somebody's outside my tent, I hear kids laughing in the distance. How about, say, we take all our battery packs, channel them to our filming lights, walk back to back, break sticks, sharpen them until we finally hit that stream, go downstream, keep following the stream until we hit civilization, nobody sleeps, nobody camps, nobody does fuck all, or worst comes to worst, we start wind up going in circles, no problem, light the forest on fire, burn it all, that's what I say, I guarantee that Blair Witch motherfucker would not have a goddamn thing on me, and fuck you if you take one of my crowd, I'll come back and we'll strip mine for dirt, motherfucker, we'll pave this whole place right into nuke testing, there will not be one single shred of shit left, and then they find that house! That house! Oh, look! There's people running in the bushes! Let's go into the haunted house! No! Burn the haunted house! Light the house on fire! Blair Witch is inside! And they will come up! Ruby, wait! They had one of our people! I have an Israeli sort of attitude on hostages. I assume them to be dead already. So if we happen to get any back, hey, that's great. But you had the guy's tongue and part of his jaw and teeth and shit sent to you, and yet you still hear him talking. Is that perhaps just a dupe? I think so! So fuck that! The Blair Witch? Good enough, man. Some film students go and die. Natural selection in action. My name is Sean Kennedy, and I am the fucking man. What the fuck?